Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here. Let's poke you in the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. Ye who had injury. Ye who had.
King Derek the fifth.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Talia Tua Valoa. Yeah.
This song I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now. You got to be a trendsetter. 14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
Morning. It is The Drive with Say and Piper Lante, Derek Piper. It is game week again for Illinois football. Game week for Cardinals baseball, baby. What's going on with this? Pipes, Trevor Valise is here as well. We are going to hear some info from Brett Bielema as we go along today. Get you ready for Friday night's game against Maryland. Also, Chase Brown talking a little bit about his health and the idea that he was able to go full speed, basically, in the game against Virginia. Of course, a game that Illinois fans want to forget. And Derek, today I was on 24/7, your site, Illini Inquirer, and I saw Jeremy Warner posted a get to know the foe, and I started to read it, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to know the foe.
You get a little scared?
They seem pretty stinking good.
Yep.
Halfway through it, I literally sat there and said, all right, Lon, this isn't Alabama. So let's calm down a little bit.
Despite seeing Tagovailoa?
Yes, despite seeing that name.
They are in Alabama. They are not.
No, and they've got a receiver that has caught a touchdown in, what, six straight games? That currently is a record right now, or tied for the record, or the longest streak, not a record, but the longest streak going in the nation. They've got another receiver that is a five-star that they think is even better than the young man that's caught six straight touchdowns in games, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, now hold on. One receiver is hard enough. We don't need two good ones. Now, they did say their running game isn't the best, but Illinois certainly has given up plenty of rushes.
Did Virginia need a run game?
No. No, they did not.
I don't think they really did.
So I guess talk me off the ledge here on this beautiful Wednesday.
Oh, no, that's not my job. I'm going to talk you into some excitement with Cardinals baseball. That's what you needed talking into.
Let's do that.
That was an exciting game last night.
Oh, my
goodness.
That was
a huge win, and now in the spot of the last wild card spot.
That's crazy. I mean, everything happening, right? I mean, the Reds losing, the Cardinals getting it done with three in the 11th. Of course, there was a great defensive play by Paul Goldschmidt to come home and start a double play. Tyler O'Neill, 26 home runs this season for the Cardinals. I mean, you know, Derek, how many times have we talked about, all right, and I'm the first to admit, 2 years ago, I was like, really? I mean, is he the next guy that I'm going to watch come up here and struggle and then end up going somewhere else and doing well? Well, they've been patient with a guy like Tyler O'Neill and obviously Harrison Bader in center. I'd still like to see a little more out of Bader offensively, but certainly if he can go 240, 250 with the defense he plays and the speed he's able to give you, plus some power that you see out of him. But you see a guy like Tyler O'Neill, who right now is probably playing the best of any guy on this team.
He definitely is. He's up to 280 with the average and with the power that he's bringing. And like you said, he was given ample opportunity to really show that he deserved the job, the everyday opportunity. And in the past, he was streaky and then would get hurt or was going to these slumps and not hit for the average that you would ultimately hope for. And you'd be like, okay, if he played every day, he might hit 30 home runs, but he might bat 220. And then when you throw Bader in there in the outfield, at the time we had Dexter Fowler not hitting a high average.
Oh, boy.
There was just... looking around the line, like, someone's got to get on base.
Right.
First and foremost, but he is really taking this opportunity and ran with it. Credit to him. And I feel great about him being in the meat of that order and really trusting him and for him to hit that big home run last night. Now, I know The Cardinals bullpen made it scary by blowing the lead the ninth inning, but he's been exciting, and then, of course, they get it done by putting three runs up in the 11th.
I mean, how many times you could probably right now almost give me two or three examples in the last month of games that the Cardinals have lost, and it's one of those where you wake up the next day and you look at the Post-Dispatch down in St. Louis, or in your mind you're just sitting there saying, okay, that was a horrendous loss. You're going to remember that come, you know, the end of the year when you've lost by a game or two. Well, last night you could certainly characterize that as one of those amazing victories. And to do that against a Mets team that's hungry as well, I mean, are you kind of believing a little bit more in the Cardinals? Because I'm going to be frank. They're still, what'd we say yesterday, 14 games behind the second or the other wild card team with the LA Dodgers. They're still quite a ways back from the Milwaukee Brewers, obviously not going to win the division. So it's one of those where it's like, well, yeah, that's great. You're going to sneak into the playoffs as a second wild card, but really, are you doing anything? And for a long time, I kind of felt that way. Now, all of a sudden, the way the Cardinals are winning games and the way they're putting together series victories, and now just victories in a row, it kind of shows you that this team is kind of clicking. And dare I say that John Lester and Jay Happ are a big reason for this? I feel like since those two came aboard, it's kind of given this team a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just
stability.
Stability. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah, and that is a credit and a surprising one at that. I hesitate to say it too much for John Mozeliak. Like getting even just to a wild card spot, and if it's a one and done, you won't want to just like, well, what a fantastic job for a Cardinals organization that went out and made a huge move for Arenado and got Goldschmidt and has plenty of talent on this team to make it to the wild card one game playoff and be, you know, in and out. But the fact of, I wouldn't have seen J.A. Happ, who had, I think, the second worst ERA of anybody that had thrown like 20 innings at the time of trading, and him to come on and be just decent at the very least. And then Lester's a guy that in his last like four or five starts, he's only given up one earned run at the most.
Incredible.
So that has been really surprising and really encouraging. Now, as you look around at who else is going to be in the National League postseason with the Dodgers and with the Giants, the Brewers, I still don't see the Cardinals stacking up rotation-wise with what the Brewers are going to throw out there, what the Giants have at their disposal. But it is one thing that does have me. I mean, at the very crux of it, or at the very core of it, you just want to be in the postseason. You want that opportunity.
You want,
as we talked about, Adam Wainwright with how he's throwing, just a chance to go out there and try to advance. But it's something that is still, I still have to buy in fully, to be honest with you.
Well, and I wouldn't, it's one of these teams where I wouldn't expect them to do much in the postseason, and I'm not going to be that ashamed if they fall early, if they lose that first game or even get to the next round. But you're right, you said it there, in October, if you're playing playoff baseball in October, there's a certain feel to that. You know, fall kind of creeps in, it's a little more crisp outside, and all of a sudden it's a 3:07 game on TBS or something, whatever, pick the station, and you've got the Cardinals and, I don't know, who would they face? The Braves, if they get by that first series? I don't even know. Or would it be Milwaukee? You know, it's just one of those where all of a sudden you get to that, especially if you can beat a Dodgers team or a Giants team. Those two teams have been battling for a West division all season, and then you get them in a one-game playoff, one of them, and for some reason win that game. I know we're talking a lot here, and that could easily get wiped out as well, but with the way Waino's pitched, and we've talked about that, we talked about it yesterday, all of a sudden then you get to that next series where it's, what, a best of five, I believe, and it's like, well, why not? Why couldn't the Cardinals string together some wins?
Sure. One quick note on the Giants. History says we don't want to see the Giants.
No.
Because them and the best Boston Red Sox have been two squads that have given us some trouble. But one note, when you compare the baseball postseason versus, say, the NBA, or even you could look at the NFL, or maybe the NFL is a little bit more in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But baseball's very, I know it hasn't been the same here in the last couple of years because it's kind of been chalky of the Dodgers win, the Astros win.
No doubt.
So those top teams advancing. But it is a postseason that historically has been who's hot. I mean, not who has been the best over a course of a season or who on paper looks the best going into that month of October, like you said.
It's crazy, too, the kind of guys like Cody Whitley came in last night and put out a fire, essentially, that Daniel Ponce de Leon started. And, of course, then there were some words in the dugout between Yachty and Ponce de Leon. And you're like, oh, boy, I don't want to see a crack here in what's going on. You guys are playing good baseball. Keep it together. But you're getting guys out of that bullpen that are showing up, doing some good stuff. KK gets the save last night, so he's kind of an arm out of that.
A sweaty save.
Jack Flaherty, a guy that is going to be maybe starting to throw here soon and projected to be back maybe around, you know, maybe six games before the end of the season. Probably a guy you'd throw in the bullpen early. And one of those where the only thing I worry about is if Waino is needed the last game of the season or the second to last game of the season to get into the playoffs and he's not able to throw in that first wild card game, whereas you would have, let's say if it's the Dodgers, pick a guy, right, out of Scherzer and Buehler and go on down your, what's his name? I always say it wrong. The kid that has like won 17 straight, it seems like, for the Dodgers. Is it not 17 straight? What is a lefty? Is it
Ryu?
Not Ryu.
No. He's on the Blue Jays now. That's right.
I can't think of his name. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Not Kershaw.
No, not Kershaw or, I don't know, could you bring up the, now this is going to bother me to no end that I can't think of his name. I'm sure I'm going to say it wrong anyway because I don't think I've ever known how to say it. I know you're going to find it and you're going to be like, oh, that guy. But he's one of these that has been.
Urias.
I almost said it right. He's another guy that has been unreal. I know I said 17 straight. He hasn't won 17 straight, but he's pretty good. And he's pitched well. He's been about the best Dodgers pitcher, minus Scherzer, for the last month.
He's 17-3 this year.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, which one of those guys do you want to face on that day? Whereas if the Cardinals blow Wainwright late and they have to get into the playoffs, then you start to worry because I don't know who'd be your next starter. I mean, I guess if Flaherty's healthy.
If Flaherty can go, it's probably him.
You go with him, right? Otherwise, I don't trust Michaelis.
No, he would be very low on the list.
Do you go Lester? Somebody even said, don't forget post-season history. And then he said, Cubs fans, sigh. Lucas said that. Do you go Lester? I wouldn't feel comfortable going Lester.
I wouldn't, but I think that if Flaherty can't throw extended innings and if you burn Waino at the very end, I think Lester is probably as good as you can do.
Get him for two or three innings, get him out as soon as he gets into some panic.
It's not going to be Woodford.
Well, right. Well, who has thrown well.
Yeah.
But, you know, all you have to do is look back at last season when the Padres essentially clinched that division series against the Cardinals by throwing a bullpen game. And they had such good arms out of the bullpen that they pretty much said, we don't need a starter. We can come out with seven guys and beat you. And they did. So I guess I wouldn't put the Cardinals bullpen right now up against San Diego's last year. But certainly if you got a guy like Flaherty down there, KK, Woodford, who's been throwing well, you've got guys like that that you could kind of throw in and just piece together after you get three out of Lester. I mean, we'll see. There's a lot of time between there and now, right? I mean, the Cardinals.
Still a lot of games you have to win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to play the Brewers seven times. Let's hope they kind of clinch this thing early in the Central to where they can just kind of sit Burns and those guys and just say, all right, you know what? We want our horses to take a start or two off, so we're going to let you. But you know what? Milwaukee doesn't like St. Louis. They're not going to sit there and say, well, we're just going to give the Cardinals into the playoffs. No way. No way they're going to do that. But we'll see. It's fun. It's just fun to have baseball on the mind after a season in which I don't know how many times I texted a buddy of mine and said, okay, can this be done? Can we just get this season done immediately? Last thing on the Cardinals, Edmundo Sosa hitting like 282. He's a guy that plays pretty good defense and has all of a sudden kind of taken over the shortstop role for Paul DeJong. Tommy Edman's natural position is shortstop. So you essentially have a guy that could do that if Nolan Gorman comes up next year and is a bat for you in that second base slot, because Gorman's not going to be playing shortstop, that's for sure. So now all of a sudden you look at that with Sosa, you look with DeJong, you look at a guy like Tommy Edman could slide over to short. Edmundo Sosa is a guy that I feel like didn't get many chances. Finally, Paul DeJong was so bad that the Cardinals are like, all right, Sosa, go do what you can do. He's impressed me. And I think he's one that has really kind of helped light a fire under this Cardinals team. He plays with a little bit of passion.
He does for sure, and it's been needed because DeJong is a bat that you haven't been able to trust. And I can think back to the last time the Cardinals were in the postseason. He couldn't buy a hit. Like, they moved him all the way down, I think, to eighth in the order. And I'd be afraid that we're trending in a similar direction with the way he's struggling recently. But sometimes it takes those, you know, plug-and-play guys, yeah, those role guys, to really push this thing through to the end of the season and be able to get in the postseason. And I do also like what I've seen from him.
You never know. And the Cardinals always have that guy, right? They always have that
dude. Trevor will tell us that. Absolutely. There's always, he's got the list, the running list probably on his phone.
Cosma.
Oh, geez.
Alan Craig all of a sudden came up and was just unbelievable. Yeah, there's always those guys. Johnny J, Daniel Descalso. I mean, I told you, I watched the thing on Netflix. It was the Cocaine Cowboy, I think is what it was called. Did you ever watch that?
I haven't seen it.
So in that series, one of the guys that is implicated in that is John Jay's dad. And it's weird because it takes to like series number or like episode 4 where they're going through everything and they kind of get to his personal life and they talk about it. And all of a sudden it brings up John Jay. And I'm like, oh, because the whole time you knew his name was Jay, but you never put it together from Miami because John Jay played at Miami, right? I believe. It was just kind of a weird thing. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. All right, we're going to talk some Illini football. Before we do that, Marcus on the U of I Illini Link text line said, Derek, can you talk about the latest center the Illini are in on? They made his top 10. Seems like we always make a top 10. But there's a dude from Sweden. He's like 7 foot. Yeah.
He's 7'1".
7'1". He's got a nice touch from the outside. Now, if you gave me 4 hours, I could probably put together 10 made jump shots to where people would be like, well, Lante seems like he's got a good touch from the outside. What do you think about this kid? Is this a reach? Did you, when they started offering the kid from Utah, now they're looking at the kid from Sweden, did you kind of see the writing on the wall with the young man that ended up going to Florida State?
Yes. After he took the visit, that being Cam Corin.
Corin, yeah.
Once he went to Tallahassee, there was a feeling that if he doesn't commit on or shortly after the visit to Illinois and he goes to FSU, it's going to be tough. And then
I blame us.
Yeah.
We were in the tailgate lot.
Oh, us. Actually, us.
We were in the tailgate lot while he was there, and I couldn't pull the string. I could not sway him. I wouldn't have known who he was.
We were too busy talking to Curbelo and Omar Payne.
Right.
We should have been swaying guys who weren't already on the team. That's not our job, of course.
You can see the kind of recruiter I am. I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, so that one, shortly after that visit, Illinois had a pretty good idea that that one was over, and they were going to have to pivot and try to see what else is out there. They don't want to – they're going to be very careful about the center position in terms of bringing in another project. Like, they're willing to be patient on a guy, but not reach because of the transfer portal.
Fair enough.
And what's going to be out there. So, in terms of William Berg, 7'1", 265 from Sweden, I have seen some of the highlights. I've seen some of his game clips. One thing that you could take some belief in terms of what he's going to be is the fact that Matt Painter and Purdue have offered him as well.
Ah.
And they've done pretty well with those humongous international bigs.
Yes, they have.
So if they're like, yeah, he looks the part of what's worked for us with I always want to say Isaac Haas, although he's from Alabama. It was actually Harms and Zach Edey, who they have now, who's from Canada.
Man, he's so good.
So some of those guys have worked out for Purdue. I'm not sure. I'd have to learn more about him and just really the way that Illinois' front court is going to shuffle after this season. If you're talking about Christ Asondoko, who's from France, his first name is spelled like Christ, but I guess it's apparently Christ is the way it's pronounced. He has a top 7 that includes Oral Roberts, Seton Hall, Georgetown, Maryland, Providence, Illinois, and NC State. I know that Brad Underwood and Chester Fraser went out to Winston-Salem, where he's at right now in North Carolina, to see him last week. I don't think Illinois is pushing on that one.
Okay.
I think they're interested, but probably not pressing the gas. Again, they're keeping in mind, okay, what's going to be available in the portal, and not trying to be too jumpy of, we need a big man, let's just take one.
That's fair. Canada. Edie's from Canada. I didn't know that.
Yes.
When did Canada become more of a basketball country than a hockey country? I mean, I know it isn't, but right. I swear to you, every recruit out of Canada, now, of course, I only hear about the really good ones, comes to the state. They come to the States, and they just dominate. They're just so good.
They've had some really good players.
Has Illinois ever had a Canadian?
They've been in on a lot of them.
They have, but we haven't.
They tried to get Jamal Murray. They were in on Dylan Brooks. They were in on Dylan Ennis, Tyler Ennis.
Canadian spelled with two A's, right? Oh, I remember him. Yeah, well, I'm still looking for that first Canadian. They got me Luke Goody out of Indiana. Now I'm looking for that Canadian here. We'll see if that happens.
If you can tap into Indiana and then Wisconsin, you would think that naturally in the progression that Canada is next.
You're moving up
a little bit further north.
Maybe you got to go through Minnesota to get there. But, hey, you know what? They've got some great talent the last few years.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's as good as you get.
Does Chet Holmgren have a brother?
Oh, I forgot about
Jalen Suggs.
Oh, my goodness. So good. Minnesota. And on the female side, the girl that went to play at UConn, that's playing at UConn now, that was just, she's a sensation. She's from Minnesota. That state is producing some basketball talent. I guess it's so cold, they just go into the gym and shoot. That's the only thing I can, I've been there plenty of times, and I think it is so cold, it's ridiculous. So maybe that's what they're doing. All right, let's switch gears when we come back. Let's get a little bit more vested in this Illinois-Maryland game, which again kicks off Friday night, 8 o'clock. Don't forget, we're going to be at Pia's from 4 to 6. We are essentially a pregame show for this thing, and a pregame show that allows you to eat the Big Bielma, which is a huge,
pork
tenderloin.
There's for $6.
Oh, my goodness.
Comes with chips, too.
Plenty of tasty liquids at Pia's.
Oh, definitely.
I love Pia's fries. You and I were there one night, and I ordered them. I love those fries. They've got like three different kinds, and I like all of them, but they're just great fries. So we're going to be there, 4 to 6. I think we have a Brett Bielma football, autograph football. We're going to be giving away a lot of Captain Morgan stuff. So make sure you come out and join us. We will be your official pregame show to get you ready for Illinois-Maryland. I think our guy Drew's coming.
Awesome.
I mean, that should right there bring in how many people? Hundreds of people will be coming on that one. All right, let's hear from Brett Bielman when we come back. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. It's the U of I Line I Link text line. Again, 359-2255. You can also call us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. You can find us on Twitter. It's at The Drive 93.5. I'm on Twitter, at Lante, ESPN. See you.
I'm at DPiper 247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyjay.com. Or you can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
I just mentioned it. Here's where we're going to be. Hey, it's Lante.
And Derek Piper.
Join us live every Friday before home football games this season at Pia's Sports Bar and Grill.
We'll be giving away prizes, Illini football tickets, and more.
Come kick back, listen to our show, and grab a Slugger Burger.
It's College Game Day Live with Tay and Piper.
Every Friday before home football games at Pia's.
Han's going to be there?
Of course I'll be there.
Ah, great.
On ESPN Radio, 93.5.
Hey, Fighting Illini fans, D&D Advertising has the new 2021 football schedules ready for pickup at these fine businesses.
Wonder Joy Academy, The Winder Companies Limited, Kelly Berry Realtor, Tailored Restorations, All Angles Construction, KCM Auto Care, Adeco Full Service Staffing Agency, Needlebrush Studio, Inman Place Senior Living, Campus Culinary Solutions, GEF Pest Control, High Slope Backhoe Services, Joe's Liquor on Bradley, Sims Service Company, Landscape Masonry and Lawn Care, The Reading Group, Improve Your Move Fitness, Mervis Recycling, Bash Heating and Air, CU Trade Services, Crucial Cuts, Horn Insulation Company, Redbud Septic Sewer and Excavating, Milliken Masonry.
Please patronize these fine businesses as they are an asset to the community.
D&D Advertising Enterprises is not licensed, affiliated with, or endorsed by any university, sports, institution, or program unless specifically stated in writing. No proceeds from any of the funds collected for your ad will be given to any educational institution or sports team. We are not responsible for any schedule changes made after printing.
Fighting Illini football is right around the corner. Get down to the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit, to gear up for your return to Memorial Stadium this fall. With their great selection of football designs and tailgate necessities, Game Day Spirit is the one-stop shop for Illinois football fans. Visit one of their convenient locations at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town, Neal and Kirby in Champaign, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
We've all been through a lot over the past 18 months, and as we enter the fall, just remember, Campus Town Urgent Care will remain one of Central Illinois' most reliable and accessible homes for vaccines, PCR, and rapid testing. Dr. Tom Plura and his staff are open 7 days a week. For information and available times for vaccinations, PCR, and rapid testing, go to CampusTownUrgentCare.com. At 631 East Green Street in Champaign, at the corner of Green and Wright, it's CampusTownUrgentCare.com.
Law Enforcement Official of the Month is Tina Trock,
a canine officer for Champaign Police Department. So tell me about Lando.
Lando, he's an 18-month-old German Shepherd.
Are you surprised by the capabilities of Lando?
So I'm just surprised about all the stuff that they can do. It's just amazing.
What's most amazing that we wouldn't know? They smell like crazy, right?
Yeah, their most amazing ability to me is their tracking abilities.
Is it 8-year-old recently?
Yeah, 8 years old. The mother thought that she was out in the front yard playing. Mother went out. The child was gone. Talked to her friend that she was supposed to be with, and the friend was like, no, she left earlier. No. So the child had been gone for some time, and officers had been checking yards and talking to neighbors, and I got there and I wanted to pick up her scent, you know, direction of travel, and he picked it up immediately, smelled her scooter and was in the area and pulled me right to her in a backyard.
How far away?
About 3 houses away from her own house, so very close.
But how about Lando?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Law Enforcement Official of the Month, supported by Pepsi Cola Champagne Urbana Bottling Company.
I'm Dr. Jaya Wadawan, and I'm a pediatrician with OSF Healthcare. RSV is respiratory syncytial virus, and it's very common in pediatric patients, especially in the age group of less than 2 years old. In RSV, some symptoms to watch for is fever, cough, wheezing, any difficulty breathing, decrease in appetite. So with COVID and RSV, it's difficult to differentiate the symptoms and the presentation of each. The best thing to do is go to your provider and get a swab for both COVID and RSV. Older people can get it. It presents more of an upper respiratory infection. However, in the pediatric population, it presents more in the lower respiratory tract, which causes more of severe symptoms. Treatment includes supportive care for fever, so that includes Motrin and Tylenol. And if they need further respiratory support, that would include some oxygen support and nebulization. Visit the website osfhealthcare.com.
I bought a new gas range and dishwasher. This box store said they install, but just dropped them in my kitchen saying, I need a plumber.
Well, Mrs. Customer got herself in a pickle again, going to the old lumber yard, thinking that's where appliances come home ready to use.
They just showed up, dropped them off, and left.
No doubt they took your money and ski-daddled out of the county. Service after the sale isn't something that happens often these days.
Mr. Narrator Guy, where do you go?
Much obliged you asked. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, they do things different. Hook up to gas and water. Shoot, they'll even convert natural gas to propane for the country folk.
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Sounds like they'll fix me right up.
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World's Labor Day sale is going on now, all through September. GE French door refrigerators are in stock. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, when you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Thinking of selling your home? Today's market is crazy, but one way you can be sure to stand out is by replacing your old flooring with new hardwood. And the best place to do it is Carpet Weavers in Champaign. Carpet Weavers boasts the industry's best brands, including Shaw, Mohawk, Paramount, and more. When it comes to natural beauty and a rich quality, nothing beats new flooring from Carpet Weavers. And they have financing options for your budget, so you can always afford the floor you truly want. Increase the value of your home by installing new, high-quality options from Carpet Weavers. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Hey Illini fans, it's your girl, Chinee Ogumike. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Cardinals baseball tonight against the New York Mets. We are off early again. I forgot to check who's on the hill for the Redbirds versus the Mets. You and I needed a Pete Alonso home run last night to find magic, and he hit it off the wall.
Off the wall in the 10th? Or is it the 11th? I can't remember. Either one.
I don't remember either.
That was part of KK making it way too interesting. So maybe it's good that it didn't go over the wall.
You're right.
But it would have made us some money. As long as the Cardinals still would have had to win the game.
Right.
John Lester.
Oh, that's right.
Against Tyler McGill. I don't know much about Tyler. I do not.
Okay.
3-4, 4.06 ERA.
Maybe after the show, you and I will figure out who Tyler McGill
is. I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will.
All right, it is The Drive with Sandpiper, Lante, Derek Piper. Illinois football on a Friday this week, 8 p.m. kickoff, Memorial Stadium. You get Maryland coming in, a team that is explosive. They're 3-0. I feel like they should be heavier favorites than what they are now. But in my mind, Derek, I'm still trying to remind myself that Maryland football has never really been a juggernaut. But Mike Locksley has gone on or has gone in there. I mean, it's kind of like his dream job. He's gone in there and done some wonderful things so far, including a really good recruiting class last year.
Yeah, he's recruited some really good talent. They were at least last year up and down. Like, they got blown out at Northwestern by 40, turn around and beat Minnesota. They won on the road at Penn State.
Wow.
Lost to Rutgers at the very end of the season, though. So that just kind of shows you the inconsistencies that they've had. But Tagovailoa, who was a freshman or a sophomore last year, has really started to mature a lot more. He's thrown for, here's a stat. You hate me when I bring these stats.
I do hate you. No, I don't really hate you, but.
But he's thrown for 3 touchdowns in 4 of his last 5 games.
Great. That's wonderful.
So he's talented. They have speed. They have athleticism at the skill positions. And that's obviously what Mike Locksley recruited when he was here as an offensive coordinator at Illinois. And he's brought that to Maryland, where in the DMV there's always a lot of talent.
Uh-huh.
And they certainly have some of that. So their offense is it's an open offense. They want to spread you out. They want to use their speed, throw it around the yard, and – that is scary for what Illinois has going on defensively right now.
I was going to let you listen to Brett Bielema, kind of just his opening remarks essentially about getting past Virginia and going to Maryland, but I want to stick with what you're talking about, and that's this Illinois defense doing what they can to slow Maryland. Now, this is an Illinois defense that has given up over 1,000 yards the last 2 games. I believe it's 1,056 yards the last 2 football games. That is what is ahead. And then you're bringing in a team like Maryland that has put up points just through 62, albeit against what, Fordham?
They beat Howard and
Howard, West Virginia. Okay, but.
Which that was a good win for them, West Virginia was.
Beating a ranked West Virginia team. So here comes a team that has a lot of defense or has a lot of offense. So what concerns Brett Bielema the most about getting his defense turned around?
Well, we can't give up free plays, right? So anytime that we just have a little simple formula, explosive plays are runs over 12 yards or passes over 20 yards, and they had 9 passes over 20 yards. You're not going to be able to. On the flip side, we had 4 offensive explosive plays. We had 2 runs and 2 passes. So we're even on runs, but they had 7 more explosive pass plays than we did, and if you have 4 or more as a defensive unit, it's usually a very, very bad sign of a possible defeat. It's been my experience that if you have 4 or more, that nothing good usually comes out of that, and they had almost double that. So we definitely have to look at, A, how those plays happen. It was a variety of different things. There was technique errors. There were mental errors. There were situations of plays that, you know, had given us new looks and things that we hadn't seen before, and we just weren't able to identify them. And they, to my hat, they give them a lot of credit. They ran a throwback to the quarterback. We hadn't practiced that one, right? So they're opportunistic with the times that they threw in a couple of glitches, and their tight ends made some big plays over the middle that were big.
No doubt. And Lindy corrected me. West Virginia was not ranked. That's my fault. I was thinking they were ranked going into that game. Another thing defensively, Derek, is, and we saw it just horrendously rear its ugly head Saturday against Virginia, is that you had 0 pressure on Brennan Armstrong. 0. And while the cornerbacks, the secondary in general, and even the linebackers trying to chase down a 6'7 tight end, they certainly have their work cut out for them as well. I'm not giving any passes to any of them. But when you have a quarterback that is not being worried about being hit and has time to kind of look over things, that's not really fair to a secondary to try to cover someone that is more probably, well, has more speed than them. But for 3 seconds, I mean, that's hard. You can't do that in the backyard.
Yeah, that's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
When you already have a sketchy secondary, and then you pair that with the fact that you're not going to get in the backfield, and you're going to have extended time for the quarterback, not only to be comfortable, but to go through progressions or wait for some longer developing routes to open up. And that's just not putting them in a good situation. So while we've talked about how long that Owen Carney's been here and Isaiah Gay have been here, there's just
got to have more.
The production is not there.
Nope.
In particular this year. I know Carney had a nice year last year, although it was weighted towards really just a couple of nice games and maybe not throughout the entire season. So you need more from those guys on the outside. You need some push up front from a Roderick Perry, from a Calvin Avery, where you at?
Yeah.
Virgis Brown, you're on that side now. Has Virgis Brown played that much?
I don't think
at
so.
All? I don't think he has.
I haven't really noticed. Keith Randolph being hurt doesn't help.
That does not help at all.
He is a kid, I think, with Johnny Newton, Seth Coleman. I think these kids can do some damage eventually here at Illinois, but certainly when they're sidelined with injuries, that's not going to help.
No, and I think that is a dilemma for Ryan Walters, where he saw week zero dialing up blitzes, worked against Nebraska because you were able to surprise Adrian about where the pressure was coming from.
Yeah.
You were able to get in the backfield, but then it kind of turned on you in UTSA. They used that against you where you're blitzing and they're just throwing quick and getting the ball out there. Now you got one-on-one. So that's kind of the, do we go super aggressive to try to get back there because we're not doing it with four?
Right.
Or do we sit back in coverage and try to guard more things, but then that quarterback has the time?
And Ryan Walters talked this week about the idea that a lot of the times they were playing zone against Virginia and guys were miscommunicating. Well, how often have we seen that in the last 5 years? And that's just frustrating to think that these guys are this far into our college, basically football, whatever, and they cannot figure out the communication side of things. And it's obviously an important thing that Illinois is missing. But a key could be getting to the quarterback. How do we do that, Coach?
Yeah, there's two ways to apply pressure, right? Mental and physical. Mentally, you know, to give different looks and to make him understand what he's processing before the snap is one. And then the physical pressure is just whether we want to bring 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7, pressure. A little bit of the game flow kind of plays into that. Also, what kind of quarterback you're facing. Through three games, we face quarterbacks that really do, run the ball really well and escape pressure. So you want to make sure you're able to corral him and understand what we're trying to do to bring pressures if that's what we have to do.
Okay. Really, all you needed to hear was the first second of the...
Yeah, there's two ways to apply pressure, right? Mental and physical. Mentally, to give different looks and to make him understand.
Oh, boy.
That was a very encyclopedia type of answer. There's two ways to do it. You do it this way or you do it that way. In theory, we could go either one, but
yeah.
Here recently we haven't done either.
No. I mean, Coach, can you get to the quarterback?
Yeah, there's two ways to apply pressure, right? Mental and physical. Mentally, to give different looks and to make him understand.
Okay, let's try to find a positive here. How about the idea that you're getting Brandon Peters back? Your starting quarterback. And I don't know that we've given enough talk to that. We've talked about it. I don't know that we've given enough credibility. And I think it's maybe because Art Sikowski didn't come in and just, he obviously threw some touchdowns. He's had one interception. He hasn't been flashy, but he hasn't been bad. And maybe because of that, we feel like, all right, maybe you're not missing Peters quite as much. But what if Brandon Peters took that next step? What if he can come out and absolutely take this offense down the field, which you're going to need against Maryland? I guess that's a what if, but Derek, look, we're fishing for anything optimistic right now. Maybe that's a what if we'll see Friday.
And it is worth seeing that out of Brandon, because Brandon obviously put the work in throughout the offseason and very limited time in that Nebraska game before he was already on the sideline now. I think you said it right with Art, the way he played. Now, is he leaving more to be desired the last 2 weeks? Yes, for sure. But it wasn't to the point of such limited quarterback play that it was – I always hate to bring up these names like Chase Crouch,
yeah, right.
Jeff George Jr., guys that were just not getting it done in any
Karan
form.
Even Taylor last year, who had a pretty good running game and threw it a little bit, but – Matt Robinson, you haven't seen him be able to come in and play like Art Sitkowski.
Right, and that is certainly true. With Brandon, though, we still haven't seen consistency from him.
No.
And then I still question, what's the ultimate ceiling for Brandon? How high is it compared to what? And we had that discussion earlier this week compared to Sitkowski. And I do think back to last year when Brandon said he was coming back. I don't think anybody was, blown away, game changer. This is the guy to get it done for Illinois football, but he does deserve the opportunity to show the work he's put in and see if he can find that consistent level of football.
Here's what Coach Bielma thinks about bringing his veteran quarterback back this Friday.
Well, he's our starting quarterback going into the opener, right? Was lost really early in that first game. So a lot of the things that we had saw during fall camp, even going back to last spring through the summer, through fall camp, weren't able to be materialized yet. But he obviously has a very live arm, I think a lot of experience, kind of a new offense for him. So he's kind of seen this evolve now for two games, not being on the field, not really involved in the game prep. Really hasn't taken any practice reps with our ones and twos since the preparation for Nebraska. The last 2 weeks he wasn't cleared to get through those practice phases. So really Ryan and Art had been taking all those reps. So he has witnessed it. He's gone against our defense through scout team, Skelly, and did some things during practice that were non-contact that allowed him to, you know, stay involved in the practice plan, but nothing as well as it will be this week.
U of I Lining Lake text line. Mike says, I just don't see getting the QB back is enough to get going. Defensively, we have to be much better. Our O-line must be better. I'm not arguing with any of that. That's for sure. But
it's all true.
But we have to give Peters the chance to come in, and you never know what that does to the other team. For instance, if you were sitting here and you didn't know much about Maryland's backup quarterback, and he had been playing for 3 weeks, essentially, and they were 1-2, and all of a sudden you hear that Maryland's starter is back this week, what's your first thing you're going to do is, oh, of course he's back against us. So maybe Maryland's sitting there saying, oh, well, Brandon Peters is back, their starting quarterback. If he was good enough to be the starter, then obviously he's better than what they've been throwing out there. So I guess you look at it that way. Look, I'm fishing. I'm fishing right now. You know one guy that he can throw to, though? And the last time Brandon Peters was doing this thing as a healthy quarterback, he didn't have Deuce Spann out there. Well, Deuce is out there. Of course, the old Deuce is loose. I mean, he's been something. I want to see more of him, eh, Brett?
Yeah, you know, Deuce is an explosive player. Had a little package set up for him last week. He obviously connected early on that on the first touchdown, but unfortunately then he was kind of limited in the rest of the day. But he should be back 100% full go with us. Just was a little bit tight in the lower leg. So he is a guy that is exciting. I brought him in yesterday. We had a nice conversation just about how was he feeling? Feeling comfortable? He's no longer. It's different, right? When you're a backup quarterback, you aren't really involved in near as much physicality or, you know, just the pure reps of practice. And I think that part he had to get used to, just the way he addressed himself, you know, to get ready for practice, to mentally get ready for practice, and then go into the game and know when his number would be called. So our guys respond really quickly to him. Deuce is an unbelievably great kid, great attitude, great work ethic. So I think he's a guy that, as we looked at it yesterday, he's a guy that we want to keep moving forward and target plays at him.
You know, Pipes, I was going to ask this question to Jay Layman Monday and forgot. You wonder, with a guy like Deuce Spann, a guy like Isaiah Williams, that for last year especially, you know, were basically not used. Isaiah started a few games at quarterback when Peters went down, but they essentially weren't really used. And you wonder how many times, and coming off a game against Virginia where they basically deployed some of their better athletes in the backfield. I like the way Bronco Mendenhall's kind of getting those guys involved, but I've always wondered, during a college football season, how often do some of your better athletes not even touch the field? Because they're, you know, a cornerback, but as a freshman, and they're behind two senior cornerbacks. Not that they'd be a better cornerback, but maybe they'd be a good slot receiver that year and then switch back to cornerback. Mm-hmm. I know it's not that easy. This isn't like me going from point guard to shooting guard. Although that's probably not easy at the college level, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, you've got a guy like Deuce Spann and Isaiah Williams that right now are your best receivers, and they were guys that were kind of on the bench behind Brandon Peters as quarterbacks, not even being used. I just wonder how many times, and you know it's countless, a guy has never even seen the field or finally does his senior year, when in reality you could have been using his athleticism somewhere.
It's a good point, and it does take some creativity to be able to think outside of the box and try to put guys in different situations, and you think about...
And that's what 3 million should do.
Yeah, it should, definitely, right?
Right? And yeah. I'm not saying that Brett's not. He obviously is with Deuce and Isaiah, but, I mean, if I'm paying my coach $3 million a year, I want him to look at this roster and say, who else can help us and where?
Oh, for sure, and it does have to go both ways. I mean, yeah. In terms of the... a guy like Deuce Spann, a guy like Isaiah Williams, who came here to play quarterback, it's you would hate to even say it, but I think it's very, very true, is that credit to those guys for even accepting the fact of, do you want to play wide receiver? Do you want to get on the football field where you have a new coaching staff, a new system, where maybe it's a little bit more Rod Smith is open, running quarterback, read option type stuff. This Great is maybe point. More traditional under center or just ball control, different way of playing offense. You're still here playing versus, like, I got to get out of here. I got to transfer. I got to get in a different system. I had offers from other places. Like, Deuce Spann had a lot of offers. Mm-hmm. And even if you just look at maybe not all of them wanted him to play quarterback, maybe that was in the equation for him as well. But, like, a Cincinnati or Coastal Carolina, yep. like, the fact that he was willing to be like, okay, I'll go play wide receiver and try to make some plays. But he certainly is a very good athlete, and it's pretty amazing the plays that he's made so far with little experience at wide receiver. So it's worked. Like the experiment or just trying out something different and the situation of Illinois needing those type of playmakers at wide receiver, it's worked so far, and that is one encouraging thing that, as you say, if you're fishing, you can at least catch that one.
No doubt, right? That's you know what it is? They're spawning. They're hungry. You're going just throw a wax worm out there. You're going to get something. Who was the kid that played at Michigan? Darnard Robinson, right?
Yeah.
Who was a quarterback in college and then went on to play wide receiver in the NFL. I wonder how many times, obviously Michigan is not a good example of this, but I wonder how many times a quarterback, like a kid like Isaiah that wanted to play quarterback. So instead of going to like Alabama or LSU or somewhere bigger, somewhere more, you know, a team that's had a lot more success, just said, nope, I'm going to go and try this quarterback route. I wonder how many of those guys could have just said, you know what, now I'm going to go play wide receiver. Obviously, all these stud programs think I should be a wide receiver. Well, they probably know more than I do, so I better go do that. I wonder how many times that's happened as well. So it's probably countless. But here we go. We'll see. I'm just happy the Deuce is out there. I'm happy Isaiah's out there. I don't know who else is on that bench that could be out there, but if they're there, get them out there. All right, here's the good news, Derek. Through all of this, Illinois is 1-0 in the Big Ten. They're 1-0 in the Big Ten? I mean, right?
It's factual.
Am I lying?
You can't argue against that, no.
So here comes another Big Ten game, and I know that's something that Brett Bielema puts a lot of importance on.
You know, the season started with 12 opportunities in front of us, three are behind us. We're a 1-2 team on paper. But for our guys, they have a 1-0 mentality on a week, right? Every week they're just trying to lock themselves into whatever they have to do to have success this week. I told them yesterday to have success on Friday was going to be very important for us to have success on Monday. And that's part of the process we're going through. A lot of times people want to jump to the end like you just did. Like it doesn't work that way. As a player, as a coach, you can't. If we were sitting here 3-0, I'd be saying the same exact thing. The problem is we aren't, right? So everybody wants focus on the fact that we're 1-2. So in my previous experiences when we've been 3-0, and in previous experiences we've been 1-2, the fact that you focus on the week at hand is all that really matters. If you start trying to figure out where you're going to be at the end, if something hypothetically happens, you just wasted, you know, some time in your life you'll never get back. So everything we do is about the preparation for Maryland. Today, to have a good practice tonight under lights is our only focus, and what that does to affect Tuesday will affect Wednesday, will affect Thursday, and then Friday. I know it's not the answer we always want, but that's the answer the football team has to go under.
So you're saying Iowa might be a little scared?
I would hope.
Because you're looking in the West, and Illinois want to know. They're 1-0.
I mean, it's fact. It's fact. Spencer Petras, get ready to feel the wrath.
That, you can't deny, like, as Brett was saying, you can look at it and be like, oh, 1-0, we're good. Like,
yeah.
You can't deny the issues that are just glaring off the page here from the past two games. But in terms of your division record, like,
you are 1-0.
There's still opportunity. Like, it is still early enough in the season to try to turn this thing around, but at the same time, there are just some very discouraging things you got to fix.
Well, we're going to talk all about this at Pia's, of course, and tomorrow, we're actually on a full show tomorrow. Friday, a full show, pre-gaming, if you will, at Pia's Sports Bar. We'd love for you to come join us. We've got great crowds every time, and we appreciate all of our listeners that are coming out to support us, to support Pia's. There's wonderful specials going on. We're giving away swag, Captain Morgan swag. We've given away like a chair, a cooler, a Brett Bielema autographed football. We got another one of those. All you got to do is when you get there, you just go over to a table. We've got it right there. You just sign your name and put it in the box, and you've got a chance to win. And then, of course, we'd love for you to stick around, have a couple of Cokes or have a couple beers, whatever you want, eat, and listen to us do the game or the show. Excuse
and then
me.
Drive us to the tailgate lots.
And then take us to the tailgate lots within a limo.
I think that's something that's going to be part of the contest is you get to drive Lon and Derek to the tailgate
lot. That is a great idea. And we look at Hans and Noah and say, hey, thanks for cleaning up. We're gone.
Oh, we should definitely do that.
Definitely. We're going to have to go into quick. You know, we've been there twice. I haven't helped clean up once. And it's because every time I'm done
with
the show.
You're a man of the people. They want to talk to you.
People come up and visit. The next thing I know, I look over and you guys have everything clean. And I'm like, oh, boy, I'm going to sneak into the bar right now and buy Derek a beer for that help. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, now we're on just only for about 4 minutes, but we're going to preview the Cardinals and Mets. Can the Cardinals get the sweep at Shea? I still say Shea. We'll talk about it next. It is The Drive.